Good afternoon, everybody. I'd like to go ahead and call the Senate Transportation Committee to order. Time now is 1:31, February 23rd, 2017. With me today is Senator Wilson, Senator Egan, myself, Stedman. We have a quorum to conduct business. We have one item on the agenda today, and that item is Senate Bill 50, Studded Tire Fees, offered by Senator Giesel. SB 50, an act relating to fees for the sale or installation of studded tires and providing for an effective date. Senator Giesel is here with her trusty staff. If they could come forward, please, and introduce the bill to the committee. After they're done, we'll have preliminary questions to the bill sponsor, and then we'll have DOT come up and do a 8-page presentation and discussion, and then we'll have the public hearing. That, Senator Giesel, if you could introduce yourself for the record, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm State Senator Kathy Giesel. I represent District N, as in November. That's in the Anchorage Hillside area, as well as East Anchorage. Thank you so much for hearing the bill today, Mr. Chairman. As you said, Senate Bill 50 would institute an increase in the fees for the use of studded tires. Alaska's road system is critical. It's critical for our families, our businesses, and our jobs. Children travel on our highways every day to and from school. Workers commute on them to get to work, and businesses transport their merchandise and countless products. We all depend on our roads, regardless of the weather or the seasons, and the effectiveness and safety of our road system affects every single Alaskan. So what is the problem? What is the problem that Senate Bill 50 addresses? In a word, well, two words, road ruts. We've gotten into a rut, Mr. Chairman. These ruts pose significant dangers to Alaskans. The major contribution to these ruts, not the sole contribution, but the major contribution, are studded tires used during the winter. Mr. Chairman, these ruts are worse in high-speed areas and in high-traffic areas where the metal studs are pounding at high speeds into the asphalt. And these are the same places where some of our most serious accidents occur each year. Some folks on the committee, certainly members of the public, travel on the Glen Highway and the Seward Highway frequently in South Central. There are significant ruts there. These pose a huge danger as you try to navigate not only down a lane yourself, but changing lanes is very hazardous. Certainly in the winter, the roads are icy, and changing lanes and losing control as you, it's analogous actually to water skiing and trying to get over the waves, the wake that is coming from the boat and trying to move from side to side. In the summer, these ruts fill with water, and so hydroplaning is a significant risk. I have understood from the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities that to repair the rutting on a two-lane stretch of road costs approximately $1 million a mile. It is very costly. In 2002, Alaska did a study, and as a result of that study, the tire fee was put in place to begin with in 2004. So the studded tire fee is not new. It's been in place since 2004. At a rate of $5 per tire. If you take a used tire and install studs on it, that's $5 a tire also. In the last fiscal year, that's FY16, this generated about $400,000. That doesn't come anywhere near the cost to repair our roads. So, what have some other states done? Well, you'll see a map later on during another presentation, but to put it simply, there are four states that surround the Great Lakes. They're in the interior of the contiguous United States. Their climate is very cold. In fact, they often have temperatures colder than we do. Those four states also have heavy snow loads because of the Great Lakes and the lake effect. They have banned studded tires because of the damage to their roads. Those states are Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Illinois. In addition, the Canadian province just north of Michigan, Ontario, has also banned studded tires for the same reason, damage to their roads. Of interest is the fact that Japan has banned studded tires, though their motivation was slightly different. Their major concern was the air pollution that they cause. The studs actually throw fragments of asphalt into the air and compromise air quality. Senate Bill 50 is not about banning studded tires, but there is a solution that would work for us to help pay for the damage that's being caused, and that's essentially to increase that user fee to reflect some of the incurred costs from the studded tires. We've actually done that for several other issues, Mr. Chairman. For example, a couple years ago, we allowed the Parks Division of the Department of Natural Resources to raise the park fees to cover the cost of operating our state parks. Consequently, the Park Division is now 50% self-supporting. Last year, we passed a bill that will allow them to sell logo gear, increasing the self-support for state parks. That's a great thing. They're not asking for as much money out of our budget. Last year, we also passed an increase in hunting and fishing license fees to help the Department of Fish and Game. So this is not a new concept. What is the alternative to studded tires? Well, for at least a decade now, new technology tires have been available. They're made with a softer rubber. I'm certainly no chemist or highway safety engineer. I'll let some of those folks speak about that. But the new studless tires actually have been studied. Consumer Reports has a report out, as well as several other states, which have found that in almost all driving conditions, the new technology studless tires perform as well or better than tires with studs in it. In your packet, you have a study from Washington State, and it actually says at the top of it, instead of saying Washington State, it is cryptically titled, Summary and Overview of Studded and Studless Tire Traction and Safety. That has in it some conclusions. That report has, let's see, it looks like 16 conclusions. Many of these conclusions were drawn from tests in the state of Alaska. So I'll let you look at that and read that on your own. Now, I've heard some folks object that the cost of the new technology tires is far too high for the average person to afford. The average person could only afford conventional studded tires. In fact, we did a cost comparison. Alaska companies, tire companies in South Central, were polled, and frankly, they come out even. In some cases, the studless tires are less. Other cases, the studded, but overall, it's frankly a wash. They're equal overall. We've had numerous studies done in Alaska. You'll hear about some of those. The increased fee in this bill is going to navigate through the Department of Administration to be allocated to the Department of Transportation for road maintenance and repair, Mr. Chairman. So the fee would go to the Department of Transportation at the end. I've had some folks say to me, well, this is not a conservative bill. You know, you're putting an increased fee in. And actually it is a very conservative principle, Mr. Chairman. It's a factor of a user fee that is taking personal responsibility for choices. This leaves it up to the individual citizen to choose studded tire or not. If they choose the studded tire, great. There is an increased cost for that, for repairing our roads, and that would be reflected in the user fee. It is not a ban on studded tires, and it strikes a balance between maintaining essential public services and preserving Alaskans' ability to choose what's best for their vehicles. So with that, Mr. Chairman, my staff is here. She's ready to go through a sectional analysis if you'd like.
Sure. For the record, my name is Kari Noor, staff to Senator Giesel. So the bill before you, Senate Bill 50, has four sections. The first section amends AS4397025B. And this section amends the current statute in three ways. It first increases the studded tire user fee from $5 to $50. It also reduces the weight of the studs that fall under this fee from 1.1 grams down to 0.5 grams. It also ensures that all tires sold through online retailers for use in Alaska are then subject to this fee. Section 2 of the bill adds a new subsection under AS4398. 025, and this section creates a new subsection to establish legislative intent that the funds generated from this fee will then be directed back to the Department of Transportation for the repair and maintenance of state-maintained roads, and it does not create a dedicated fund. Section 3 adds a new section into the uncodified law of the state of Alaska, and this section outlines that the Act will apply to all tire sales and stud installations on or after the effective date. And Section 4 is the effective date clause, which this Act would take effect on July 1st, 2017, in accordance with the fiscal year.
Okay, thank you. Is this your first sectional analysis, your first bill? How many bills have you done so far?
I'm not sure how many bills I've done so far, sir.
Okay. Can you give us an idea?
Probably less than 5.
Okay. Well, you're doing a good job. That's why I brought it up.
That's negative, Brad.
So we have any initial questions for the bill sponsor before we bring up DOT? Okay, seeing none, we will bring up DOT's trustee engineer, Mr. Merrick. If you can introduce yourself for the record, who you represent, and then take us through your slides and explain to the public some of the financial burden and life of road issues that we're facing throughout Alaska.
Okay, thank you. Chairman Stedman, I'm Lance Merrig, Chief Engineer for Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. Senator Giesel covered much of my material, so I'll try to keep this moving along.
A brief at ease.
For definition purposes, just want to be clear that we're talking about the ruts, the longitudinal depressions, and the wheel paths on highway travel lanes. And as Senator Giesel mentioned, roads that are most susceptible to studded tire damage are high-volume, high-speed roads, and I provided some examples: Glen Seward Highways in the Anchorage area, Minnesota Drive in Anchorage, and Egan Drive here in Juneau. There's been some question about what causes the ruts. It's DOT and PF's position that studded tire wear is the significant contributor to ruts. And this is a graphic that shows a car, in this case a compact car, in a rutted section of Arctic Boulevard in Anchorage. This picture was somewhat dated, but from 2008.
Hold it there for a second. Senator Wilson.
Are you saying that this compact car, because it looks like the tires don't quite fit the ruts in the road of this vehicle, looks like a little bigger. But that's fine.
Senator Wilson, yes. So there's a range of vehicle sizes out there. I was going to cover this, I think, a little bit later, but just I'll clarify that it's basically light-duty vehicles, cars, light-duty trucks, and SUVs that use studded tires, and although that's a compact car, larger cars with wider tracks would fit maybe better in there than a compact car, but that shows that a compact car does fit in those ruts. That was the purpose of this slide.
Okay.
Go ahead and continue.
You can see the wear in the wheel paths on the pavement, and the discoloration in this slide also on the traffic marking on the stop bar. We've also had some discussion and question about the asphalt mixture itself that's susceptible to shoving or other motion in the asphalt that causes that. And the department has done several examinations of pavement sections. This is from Eagle River Loop Road in Anchorage, where we saw cut a band of pavement out of the road so that we could look at it more closely. And on the next slide, you can see, well, I guess it's not as clear on that as it is on my screen, but what I'm trying to show here is that the bottom of the pavement course is pretty flat, as is that's the contact area with the underlying base course material. So the rutting is just in the pavement. It's not translating through the pavement to the structural section below. And these are pretty severe ruts in this roadway, but for example purposes, I chose this slide. There are situations where vehicle traffic will deform pavement instead of wearing it away. That happens most commonly at intersections or at sharp turns where heavy vehicles, trucks, commercial trucks, and their braking and turning action will, in warm weather, deform the pavement. But these ruts that we're talking about on these high-volume highways are there aren't a lot of intersections. There's a lot of just continuous traffic, very gentle curves. And so I wanted to make a distinction that while we do see shoving, we don't see it on the highways where we experience the stud-caused rutting. This is the map that the Senator mentioned earlier that shows the current state of status of state regulations on studded tires. So in Alaska we have a prohibition on the weight of studs currently, the 1.1 gram that this bill proposes to change to a half of a gram.
Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a slide back on your five. Do you have any more information on these pictures? My question is, when was the asphalt laid? That's my first question. The second question is, can you go back in your, and I don't need the answer now, but I'd like to know when it was laid, and I want to know the mix design that was applied on this stretch of road. And DOT will have a copy of that in their bid documents.
Through the chair, I will have to get back to you on that. I don't have that information. Senator Giesel also mentioned some of these safety and environmental issues with studded tires and the potential hazard to the traveling public from the ruts. So I have some examples, that ice or snow that does collect in the ruts contributes to an additional loss of traction on dry roads. There's the difficulty steering and changing lanes, and in wet conditions, hydroplaning. And then studded tire use on bare pavement does generate dust by wearing through the aggregate material and fine aggregate has been found to be a human health risk, fine particles. So DOT does, we do our best to stay on top of rut damage, studded tire caused rut damage. And so one question that we'd been asked was what triggers a repair, and so usually a rut depth of a half of an inch is what triggers the start of a project to begin the design to repair that that rut damage. It typically would take 2 years from the initial start of a project to get plans ready to bid, and during that time we would expect additional rut damage, but that we'd be ready to fix it hopefully within that 2 year time frame. Our typical method for addressing rut damage is what's commonly called a mill and fill, when we cold mill out in the travel lanes to about 2 inches of asphalt to return it to a smooth surface, and then we replace that with about 2 inches of new hot asphalt pavement. DOT does have a hard aggregate policy that requires the use of a harder aggregate in the pavement mixture when on high volume roads where there's the average daily traffic volumes exceed 5,000 vehicles per lane in areas that are prone to stud wear. We are continually looking for better ways to address that, and one method that we hope to try on a project this summer we call microsurfacing, where we use a special paving equipment to mix asphalt and a polymerized asphalt, so it has some additives in it, and aggregates and water, and it's kind of a slurry. We can lay it down and it cures, and hopefully within a couple hours we're back open to traffic. Be cheaper than the mill and fill process. To close, I just wanted to address some of the issues with winter driving, and wanted to point out that automobile technology improvements over the last decade and a half or so have really improved a driver's ability to drive safely with all-wheel drive and traction control. Vehicle acceleration is better than it was before we had that technology. Anti-lock braking systems and traction control, again, help prevent wheel lockup and skidding. So cars are safer. Newer cars are safer in the winter than they used to be. Tire technology, which Senator Giesel mentioned, has also improved with tire compositions and softer tire composition materials and tread improvements that have made studless tires like X-Ice and Blizzak perform nearly as well as studded tires in most conditions, and some better. And then just tire technology all around has improved. You know, we have much better tires today than we did, say, in the 70s. There's a very limited range of conditions that in which studded tires outperform the alternatives, these studless type tires. On packed snow surfaces, studless tires are equal to studded tires in stopping distance and times to reach 25 miles an hour, maximum cornering speeds, and hill climbing ability. On icy surfaces, studless and studded tires are very similar in performance in cornering speed and hill climbing. However, on icy surfaces, studded tires do provide an advantage of 8 to 10% in the 25 mile per hour stopping distance and 2 to 15% in time to accelerate to 25 miles per hour over the studless tires. So slight advantage in those specific conditions. That concludes my presentation.
Thank you, Ed.
Thank you.
Several years ago, when we were working with some of our catch-up and major maintenance, one of the issues was the continual repaving and lack of life of the paving projects, and there was a lot of discussion on the need to use harder aggregate, or what you call here the hard aggregate policy. So was that successful, and this should have been executed at the same time, or I'm just kind of curious how this current bill intertwines with that aggregate policy and why we weren't looking at this several years ago.
Senator, I don't have the exact date, but I think our policy was effective in 2013 or 2014. We've tested hard aggregates in several locations here in Juneau on Egan Drive, and it performed very well on Tudor Road in Anchorage, and we saw good performance there as well. So there's some difficulty and additional cost to use hard aggregate, and because there are not very many sources in Alaska where we can get those aggregates of that quality.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to follow up on our chair's question, I know when we repaved Egan Drive, and we have about a 32,000 daily commute in vehicles, and it lasted a long time, I thought. But then, when ruts developed, we got our aggregate out of Washington because it was, I guess, harder. I mean, you're an engineer, I'm not. But I was confused, these barges coming up, and they said all the aggregate was coming from the state of Washington and southern British Columbia. So do we have sources here that are as hard as, I'm not an engineer.
Through the chair, Senator Egan, yes, we, DOT had a project looking for aggregate sources, hard aggregate sources in Alaska, and there are two sources that are near Cantwell. They're very close together, but that is the source of material that we have identified in Alaska that will meet our specifications for hard aggregate.
So it's probably less expensive to ship it up by barge from Washington. Is that, I don't get it. They're the expert.
Well, through the chair, mm-hmm. Senator Egan, there's some discussion about that, but I believe that on projects we are doing on the Glen Highway, we started last summer and we have another one starting this summer that we're using aggregate from Cantwell.
Mr. Merritt, one follow-up?
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Mr. Merritt, so you're saying that this new technology, this polymer, you think will be equal to the hard aggregate or even better?
Through the chair, I don't think it will. It will be more of a quick, less expensive, short-term fix that we may be able to do more than one, maybe several applications of that as ruts develop, less expensively than it would cost us to do a mill and fill project.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Mayor, on your one of your slides, you had about 13,000 vehicles going through Eagle River Loop. Do you know the percentage of vehicles that have studded tires that are driven on the road in Alaska?
Through the chair, Senator Wilson, no, I don't.
Okay.
If I may, we have through our research section a research project that we're starting very soon to try to get that information.
And if I may, Mr. Chair, And there's different types of studs. I know that Anchorage no longer sells steel studs. Can you talk about the impact of those different type of metals of studs, or the impacts on the roads, that certain studs have less wear and tear probably on the road than others, or is that true or not? Or if you could talk to that?
Through the chair, Senator Wilson, generally the heavier the stud, the more damage it will cause. So I can say that pretty safely. So a lighter stud will cause less damage than the heavier stud.
And so, and maybe this is related to sort of the wear and tear on some of the type of material being used to sort of fix the damage, and whether they're caused by studs or not caused by studs, but. I'm a commuter. I live out in the Matsu. I've traveled many, many miles of road during my time here in Alaska. And I believe DOT has some issues and problems with some of the pavement material being used, or the type of conditions that they were doing the repairs, and they actually caused more damage than what the studs were actually doing during that time on that portion, part of the glen. I guess my question would be, you know, there's other causes of wear, road wear. Can you talk a little bit more about those? Because you said set of tires have a percentage of the damage, but they're not the sole cause. Can you talk about some of those other causes of wear and tear on the road?
Through the chair, Senator Wilson, just traffic on its own without studded tires will cause wear on pavements. What we have documented is that studded tire wear accelerates that considerably, so that we're back doing repair work on highways that are experiencing the high volume, high speed studded tire wear than we are on other roads in the state. So we would expect roads to last longer without studded tires. So it's just normal wear. We have a, get too far afield here, but we have a measurement of roadway performance that we do regularly, and we measure cracking and rutting, and so we can see over time what I guess normal wear without studs or without high traffic and high speeds is. So we can document that wear from other reasons and compare it to, say, the Glen Highway, and know that it's accelerated wear on the Glen Highway from studded tire use.
Question, and I'm not sure if this is more for the bill sponsor, for Deputy Commissioner in the audience. But with a fee of this for set of tires, and with the potential, we'll start with the background then. When DOT came before us before and talked about a motor fuel tax and about a tax, and we asked about increase of services, they said everything will be status quo and there won't be any increase of services proposed with that fee. Here we have another fee, which is not a DGF related fee, which will go toward, will be caused by the user, but would you see an increase of road repair with this type of fee in those areas of high traffic volume of area for the set of fee costs, or is a set of tax, would it be more declined to decline users to purchase those set of tires?
Through the chair, Senator Wilson, I don't have a good answer for that today. I would have to get back to you.
Okay. And I don't know if you want to call a friend, if Deputy Commissioner...
He'll get back to the committee. Okay. Next question. Senator Bishop?
He's done. I have just a comment. Page 4, you know, it shows the rutting. I used to drive the Glen Highway 3 days a week. I was always going the right way in the morning, going to Palmer, away from the traffic, so... and my background's in construction, so I don't know. I would never drive in the ruts. I'd always split my tracks, right? Because that's how I was taught when I was building roads. right? If we all drove in the same tracks, we'd never get a road built because it because of this rutting that showed up right here. You know, we have to, you have to split your tracks. So my point is, and it's still going to rut, but my point is, I mean, just a suggestion is, has DOT, when you look about, talk about pavement life and extending pavement life, and it's a question I've always wanted to ask myself, to ask the department, and now here I am asking it. Have we at the department ever thought about having a education moment with the traveling public and say, hey, move over 6 inches, you know? Right? You drive to Anchorage 6 inches one way going in and 6 inches the other way coming out, to help extend the pavement life, that's all. I mean, the ruts, it's going to rut. I don't care if it's got studs, no studs. This asphalt is going to wear out. That's just what it does. So, anyway, just a comment, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, there's a question. Any other questions? So you'll get back to the committee with Senator Wilson's question, and we'll follow up at the end with the bill sponsor. Maybe she can help us with that same financial question. Because there has been concern for several years when we're doing a lot of the deferred maintenance catch-up, that before we even got to the end of the cycle to start building more roads, we were back repairing the roads that we already repaired. It was like an endless circle. And somehow we got to get away from it. But I was under the impression through all that process that it was the density of the aggregate being used, that if we used the harder aggregate, we'd get the extended life. But maybe there was more to the question or more to the problem than just aggregate, according to the testimony here. So if you could get back to the committee on DOT's expectations on, you know, what is causing the wear, the studded tires, the harder aggregate policy, the cost benefit to the aggregate issue, because that is, you know, the one source you quoted is quite a ways away from a lot of the roads in the state. And what other sources may be available so we can work with the department to try to, you know, get extended life of our roads so we can actually be looking forward to building new roads versus just endless maintenance. Is that, do you have a short response?
Yes, I have a short response. We have some of our own studies that show that it's more cost effective to use the hard aggregates, even though it's a more expensive upfront cost, that over the life of the pavement, it pays off. So we can provide some detail on that.
Okay, thank you. Any other initial questions from the committee? Okay, let's go to the public hearing portion of the bill. We're going to go to the off-net first, and we're just going to kind of roll through them in order. We'll have time to get through the list today, and we'll have time for some final questions that the committee may have for the bill sponsor. With the amount here, we're going to try to hold everybody to 2 minutes. If you could start by identifying yourself, please, for the record, and then who you represent, and then speak to the bill. And we're going to start in Palmer with James Harpster. James, if you could start, please.
My name's James A. Harpster. I've been a resident in Alaska since January of 1965, and my topic is, of course, I want this bill repealed because Senator Kathy Grizzle has the information that I gave her from the Voice of the Times, dated back in 2002, an article called Road Ruts. Also, my two senators also have it. I've also talked to Lance. Lance has already been informed and gave me information on this yesterday. I didn't get a chance to talk to the DOT Commissioner, Mark Lucan. And there's an article also in the Sunday paper which is February 19, 2017, Sunday's paper, and the topic was high tax on studded tires will hurt those who really need them. And it was by Vicki Williams. The reason I'm complaining about this is because you don't tax the people that need them that bad. And we got heavy trucks now. I used to be a tanker driver. Those tankers now are hauling more fuel than they ever did when I did it. And, of course, I used to be a tour guide. I know what some of these conditions are, and I know that the roads have to be taken care of by the DOT. Now, if you all remember, Willow should have been the capital, because we voted on it. I'd love to drive to Willow to see you people, instead of talking to you and looking at you on a TV. And we have a couple other people here that would love to give their impression. And I do thank you for this. Please take note, don't keep taxing the people. Help them out. We've already lost half of our permanent fund. You could have used it for that. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. We're going to go now to Annette Harpster in Palmer.
Hi, my name is Annette Harpster, and I'm just a resident in Palmer. And my big complaint is the aggregate. I don't know if DOT has a lab where they do testing, but this has been happening for many, many years, and I'm really surprised that there hasn't been a better mix design that would help the roads last for an extended period of time. It seems like almost every other year the DOT is patching up one road or another, and what they're using doesn't seem to be sufficient. And I believe, too, that the people who are using studs, because supposedly it's cheaper than the other tires, that they should not be penalized. And Kathy Giesel knows that. I've mentioned it to her by email. Anyway, I think the aggregate, again, needs improvement, and I think research is your number one thing. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. Next up, we'll go to Wasilla. Judy Snyder, please.
Hello, my name is Judy Snyder. My husband Dave and I own and operate Diversified Tire in Wasilla. But today I'd like to speak from a safety perspective rather than a business perspective. In listening to Mr. Merrick with DOT, he quoted a study citing that in icy conditions, studded tires will stop in 8 to 10% less distance when traveling at 25 miles per hour. If a moose steps in front of my vehicle when I'm traveling at 65 miles an hour, I can guarantee you I'm going to be very, very thankful for having my studded tires on. As you all know, we do experience a lot of icy driving conditions. And while technology in both studless and studdable winter tires has improved significantly, I firmly believe that studded tires perform significantly better, especially in cornering and emergency stopping in icy conditions. If this proposal becomes law, many, if not most, Alaskans will be unable to afford the additional fees, so they'll be forced to drive on tires that do not offer the additional safety offered by studded tires. I believe studded tires reduce the occurrences of car crashes, thereby reducing the number of injury or even fatal accidents, also reducing auto insurance rate due to an overall statewide lower accident rate. I believe studded tires save the state money by reducing the number of accident responses required by police, fire, and emergency services. I also believe it's misleading for this bill to state that the legislature may appropriate revenue from this proposed fee toward road repair and maintenance. It's my understanding that that is prohibited by our state constitution. I would not oppose a review of the dates that studded tires are allowed on our roadways, and I would encourage law enforcement to aggressively enforce those laws. I would also encourage the state to carefully review any options for road construction methods that may reduce rutting, especially ruts caused by the weight and volume of traffic on heavy-use roadways. Thank you for this opportunity to share my opinion.
Okay. Thank you, Judy. Next up, Dave Snyder from Wasilla.
Hello. That was my lovely wife. We run Diversified Tire. I think one of the things that needs to be understood is that Intersection and Anchorage would become polished if you took the studs away. Studded tires don't just help the people that have studs on. Studded tires break up the ice. And if you look at the studies that were done in Japan when they outlawed studs, the intersections became completely polished. Anchorage would be a nightmare if you start removing the studs and you start letting everybody polish the roads. Your accidents are going to go up. I would like to know on the state of Alaska and this Palmer Quick Fix. Have we done studies for stopping and going on this Quick Fix Palmer? Is that going to give us better traction? We already know something that will give us better traction. That's rubberized asphalt. And, you know, if it wasn't for this crazy bill, I'd never bring this up. But in a Clute now, we were supposed to put rubber in the asphalt and test it. And I can guarantee you that I've seen that rubber go in the landfill at the Matsu Borough. And it never made it on the road. And that was wrong. And it's a waste of the state's money. And you guys have got to get together for figuring out what works. I've never seen trucks. I'm a trucker, and I watch what goes on. I've never seen trucks running from Cantwell with aggregate, and I would have noticed. I've never seen a huge amount of trucks running from Cantwell with aggregate. I don't believe that any Cantwell aggregate ever made it into a mix in a very big amount. Anyhow, I conclude my remarks. One more thing I'd like to say. Senator Wilson, studded, heavy-duty studs are available everywhere. They weren't outlawed in Anchorage, and I appreciate your comments, but the same grade of studs is available any place in the state. If you say, I want lightweight studs, I want heavyweight studs, those are available every place.
Okay, I conclude that that's the conclusion, Mr. Snyder, of your testimony?
Yes.
Okay, thank you for your testimony. Next up, we're going to jump down to Kenai. Steve Ortman, please.
Hello, how are you guys doing today? I'm here to present you with some real-world concerns that SB 50 presents to Alaska-owned operated businesses, its employees, and its Alaska citizens. Dave and Judy did a remarkable job touching on some of the topics of the just as good and the safety issue, so I'll refrain from doing some of that.
Steve,
and
you,
I support
Steve,
them 110%
Steve,
on what they said.
Steve,
I feel like this bill is essentially a taxing a safety device.
Steve? Steve, we need you to introduce yourself for the record, please, before you start your testimony.
That the state can actually collect on those taxes. They're not, to my knowledge, not currently collecting on the taxes for the $2.50 tax nor the $5 state tax. Would also like to encourage the Department of Transportation moving forward to perhaps look at Nordic countries like Finland, Austria, Sweden for research, advice, and direction in heading forward in terms of studded tires and studless technology. Having traveled to Finland, they have a remarkable way of grading the roads and doing environmentally safe and sound methods to actually increase traction. I would also like to note that they don't make, to my knowledge, a 0.5 gram stud. There's nothing that all I know is the lightest stud made is 1.1 gram, so I'm not real sure what the 0.5 gram meant. It seems essentially like a ban on studded tires, any studded snow tires purchased in the state of Alaska. Would also like to note, from a business perspective, about 40% of our annual business is done during the winter rush. If this bill passes and we lose even half of that business, we could be forced to close stores or at the very least be forced to lay off Alaska workers. We are also concerned that this tax is a short-term quick fix that is not sustainable over the long term. We believe through experience that Alaskans are resourceful and that a significant amount of people will obtain their products of choice regardless of the tax. We believe this could lead to less revenue for the state in the long run as well. As well, the quick implementation of this tax in terms of implementing it in June of 2017 presents a serious burden for us. We have to order our tires here within the next 14 days, so I have to order my studded tires versus my studless tires in the next 14 days. So right now we're walking in that into that blindly. So we're going to have to roll the dice a little bit as we move forward. So
Steve, could I get you to finish up, please?
Hopefully you can take that into consideration in the future as well. And I'll close by encouraging the Department of Transportation in its efforts to find out what percentage of tires used on the road are studded or studless. I would encourage them to contact us. We have each stores and the variance and the proportion of studless versus studded usage by the consumer varies greatly depending upon the store or the town. The further north you go,
can we have you finish up, please?
The further south you go.
And Steve, can we have you introduce yourself for the record?
I'm finished for the record. So
I know you're finished, but who are you? Your name, please, for the record. Okay, this is a pretty simple process.
And I represent Alyeska Tire. My phone, I'm in Arizona on vacation, so I don't have cell phone coverage. My phone is cutting in and out.
Okay, thank you. So what we're going to do is, again, ask you to identify yourself for the record, please, and who you represent. And I know it's difficult when you're on the telephone and with the system. But if you start with that, things run fairly smooth, and then try to keep on point at the issue at hand. We're going to go now to Franklin Wortham. If you can introduce yourself for the record, who you represent, and speak to the bill, please.
Yeah, this is Franklin Wortham. I'm the owner of Alyeska Tire, and Stephen Craig Wortham is my son, and he pretty much covered everything that I would be talking about. So with that, I will close.
Okay, thank you. Next up, Richard Nordis in Seattle, please.
Thank you, Senator. This is Richard Nordis. I'm the Executive Director for the Northwest Tire Dealers Association, and I appreciate the opportunity to testify on Senate Bill 50. Our tire dealer members are opposing in opposition to this bill. Our dealers have a responsibility to provide their customers with the best safety for winter driving. Studded tires provide that added assurance. If Senate Bill 50 passes into law, it gives safety only to those who can afford the extra $50, which in most cases turns into $200 on a set of four tires. We believe that this added expense will be costly and unfair. Not only is it unfair to those growing families who, in many cases, need the tires on more than one vehicle, but it's also unfair to the senior citizens who are on fixed incomes and need the tires to drive safely back and forth to medical appointments and other needed trips. I also had a question on the weight of the stud, which has been mentioned before. 1.1 is the lightest weight that I believe that's manufacturers can get on that, so 0.5 grams is really non-existent as far as the studs go. I'd like to also point out that in May of 2004, the University of Alaska released the most comprehensive study done on studded tires in the United States. The Alaska legislature funded that, so thank you. That report had a broad focus on the overall social economic impact of studded tires. It's a 156-page report, and it concluded that studded tires have positive impact on the overall Alaska economy. In summary, the Alaska School of Engineering concluded savings from avoiding crashes are the most substantial impact, and benefits range with different groups, including the state government, vehicle owners, passengers, and insurance companies. And the comments on the tire technology is very true. The studless tire and other have improved over the last 10 years, and they are much better than they were. However, if you take a look at most of the studless tires, most of them are also pinned for studs, so that means that even the manufacturers believe that that studless tire needs some additional help. But it is true that the tires have improved with different rubber compounds. All current studies investigated and indicate that the studless tire provided improved traction on icy roads in acceleration, lateral movement, and stopping over any tire available to the consumer. So I think there was some comments that said that the studless tire was just as good, and that's not correct. So I know that you're going to have reports from other folks, including Gary Russell of Bruno Russell Incorporated, to give some information about some of those studies. So the last thing I want to point out is that the Alaska study and Washington State DOT study of 2003 consumer survey determined that studded tires are selected by consumers to improve the vehicle's surface traction in adverse conditions. Bans or higher usage fees on tires will produce a net increase cost. So with that, I thank you very much for allowing me to testify.
Okay, thank you, Richard. Next up, Gary Wessel from New York.
Hi, my name is Gary Wessel. I'm with Bruno Russell Incorporated. We are a supplier of tire studs to North America, and Alaska obviously being one of those places that we supply studs to. The arguments or I guess points being presented today have been heard many times over in all of the Nordic countries, any country that deals with winter-like conditions and obviously ice and snow. And Senator Geisel makes a obviously very good point on the fact that road running and tire studs are all contributing factors. The bottom line is all vehicles are contributing factors to road ruts. And someone also had said earlier that heavy vehicles are a major contributor to road ruts. All states, whether you're in the northern state or the southern state, whether you have snow or ice, all deal with road repair, and departments of transportation will always continue to have need for more roads and road repair. I just wanted to correct a couple of things that she is stating. Dick Norton has already pointed out a few of them, but I want to be clear. There is not a single study, not one, that shows a studless tire that provides better traction than a studded tire. It does not exist. I would be more than happy to provide you some testing that comes from Finland and Sweden and Norway that basically document this. Consumer Reports cannot be quoted here at all, because Consumer Reports does not test studded tires. They actually they test their studless tires against an all-season tire. So that information is just useless. Doesn't provide anything for the people in the state of Alaska who drive on icy-like conditions for a significant period of time. Also, regarding Japan, the increase in air pollution was actually more due to the fact that they increased sanding of the roads when they banned tire studs. So the increase of pollution actually took place with a whole other point. So we are opposing this. I just wanted to bring out a few of those issues. But we are obviously against the fact that we're taxing tires on a safety issue. Everything's being pointed out that it's going to add increase to the cost of the consumer. But the bottom line is it's going to increase a lot more than just that. Your insurance rates are going to go up because you are going to have an increase in accidents. The insurance industry actually has done a study as well where when someone argues that studded tires are only needed 1 to 13% of the time, depending on what study you look at, the insurance company will also argue that that 1 to 13% of the time is where most of the accidents take place. So I'm not exactly sure which study anybody wants to use. There are plenty of them, and I'd be more than happy to share the piles of data that we have accumulated over the last 40 years of being in this industry.
Hey, Gary, could I get you to finish up, please?
I conclude my testimony. I just wanted to point out that we are opposed to this.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for your testimony today. Next, we're going to go to Anchorage. David Ness, please.
Yeah, hi, this is David Ness. I'm speaking for myself. I usually drive the Seward Highway almost every weekend in the winter, and you can see the effects of the studded tires because they remove the ice from the road. And when you're going up Kernaghan Pass, they actually help the road be more navigable because they break up the ice. They can't get plowed up because it comes down as the wet snow. One of the things that I noticed in the paperwork for this bill is there is no note from revenue or from transportation on how this is going to actually be applied. You've been collecting taxes on studded tires since 2004, I believe, a little over $1 million a year, but there's no note in there from DOT on how they spent that $1 million a year for the last 13 years doing surface resurfacing for studded damage. One of the things that I find very aggravating is in the summertime, I can be on any road pretty much anywhere in Alaska, and I can hear studded tires running on them, even though the fee for running studded tires is $100 a tire. I think if you're looking for a revenue source, that's a much better revenue source because you've got the people that are causing the most damage driving studs on dry pavement, and they would have to be the people that would be paying for the damage. So instead of looking at the people that are using it to increase the safety and to help make the intersections of the roads safer in the winter, go after the people that are tearing up the streets in the summertime and make sure that the studded tire enforcement is a priority. I mean, DOT, you can hear them coming. So I am against the increase because it adds in the lightweight studs, and I think that it's much better. I mean, the hard pavement aspect that the man was mentioning, I mean, I think they just started that policy in 2013. So lots of benefits from studded tires, especially at intersections after it has been a free-fall cycle. So I would go after the people that are driving on studded tires in the summertime and increasing their fees, perhaps, and enforcement and going after the people that use it for safety. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your testimony today, David. Next up, Cooper Landing. Ed Martin, please.
Yes, good morning, Chairman. I'm sorry that I picked up on this real late. I went to the legislative page and it did not say there was public testimony. I wish you folks down there would get your act together to some degree and so the public is aware of when and during
testimony will be received.
So that's first of it, and I hope you didn't start my testimony.
Ed, could you please introduce yourself for the record, even though I recognize who you are? You've been on here many times. I still need your name and your location for the record, please.
Yes, sir. My name is Ed Martin, Jr. I'm a partner in Key Construction on the Kenai Peninsula. We own approximately 15 heavy commercial trucks, of which none of them have studs. But I'm smart enough to know at 62 years old, and I've been in heavy construction all my life. I helped build the Mobile and Cloverleaf. You guys know how long ago that was. What you have, and this cost, I don't know what DOT threw that at you, but I can tell you right now, $1 million for a mile to repay is BS. Now, there's more than just repaving in those contracts. There's guardrail upgrades. There's all kinds of safety issues that are added there. Painting. I can go on and on. You know, you guys need to put out the facts straight. I want to inform you that most of the damage that I believe is probably happening is from heavy trucks and overweight, generally, and the substandard you have for the construction of highways in Alaska. You allow contractors, big paving contractors, put in and your specs for asphalt. It's not like it used to be years ago when I was a kid growing up in NB Contracting, who my dad worked for, built some damn good roads. You have substandard standards right now. You have a pavement that isn't holding up. If it makes 10 years, that's the best we can get out of it. And believe me, I see these repaving contracts come up. And oh, by the way, they're funded by 90% federal money. The first thing you need to pay attention to is straightening up DOT. And a lot of it has to do with maintenance. They have this black maintenance policy, which is great. In the cities, maybe that's the best thing. But out in outlying areas, maybe it is, it's a little bit more cost-effective not to take her down to asphalt and leave some of that, particularly in areas maybe where you've got steep hills where trucks are going to be putting more weight and bear on those getting section of hills. I've seen many occasions on Turnagain Pass the trucks spun out and burnt down through the pavement with just plain rubber. Now, there's got to be some smart thinking here. Going from $5 to $75 a tire is just total insanity. I don't know who people think you're trying to protect. It seems to me like most of it's for budget, for revenue. Well, I've testified in other committees, chairman and board members. You guys need revenue. I've given you suggestions. Sell some land in Alaska. Get new investment in our state. And we'll try to tax the hell out of Alaska. If it's not one thing or another, you're trying to get in our pockets and redistribute the wealth. And I'll tell you something. I pay enough for licensing on my trucks and insurance. I don't need any more burden in the industry. So I call on you to go to your commissioner of transportation, look at the specs and rebuild the highway, and don't build them with substandard material. There's where you're running into your problem with these rutted roads. They never were like that in the past. So, and this repavement program, just to fund big paving contracts, is a bunch of bull.
Ed, could I get you to finish up, please?
Yes, sir. I'll answer any questions.
Well, thank you for your testimony, Ed. This, that concludes the sign-up for the off-net and the LIOs. Is there anybody in the room who wants to come forward to speak to this bill before we bring the bill sponsor back up? Seeing none, if the bill sponsor could come back up, please. Maybe we could help the committee a little bit with a comment or concern about the size of the stud available, the availability of it. And if you don't have that, maybe get back to us. One fellow mentioned something about the size of the stud. Senator Giesel, do you have any brief comments on that? Or?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, this is Senator Kathy Giesel. Mr. Chairman, I will get more detailed information for you about stud weight.
Okay, thank you. And Senator Wilson, you had a finance question that was, you want to ask the bill sponsor?
No.
Okay.
I'll wait for
it. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll wait for DOT to get back with those answers first. And
okay. Okay. Do we have any, then any other, there was just the standard heavy trucks, the payment issues, the rock issues, and we'll have DOT get back to us on availability of hard material sources around the state. I think that's an issue, quite frankly, that years ago Corps of Engineers brought up dealing with some of our breakwaters.
Mm-hmm.
Seemed to have a lot of rock around Alaska, but not a lot of hard rock. Do we have any other final questions for the bill sponsor before we set the bill aside? Senator Bishop.
Yes, just a comment to one of the callers, I think, from Wasilla on the hard aggregate. I believe if DOT could check, and I think that aggregate was moved by rail, so you wouldn't see it on the highway.
Okay. I can check on that and then get back to the committee so there's no misinformation floating around there. It has been a big concern the last several years is the short life we have on our asphalt, so it might take more than just harder asphalt. It might be other issues, studs, whatever, solve the problem. Anyway.
Mr. Chairman, may I make some closing remarks and answer some of the questions that were posed by the callers?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, road construction science advances every year. And so I appreciate the questions the committee sent to DOT asking about the aggregate. And I would also ask DOT to please consider aggregate sources here in Juneau. I understand there is some hard aggregate here, but it's not my, you know, I don't run the labs there. I also think it would be helpful for committee members to know what the weight restrictions are when they are imposed on our roads in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
right? That's when the road beds soften due to the increased water. Some of the other issues, I think DOT should respond to the question of whether rubberized asphalt has ever been tested in Alaska. I think I know the answer, but I'll let them respond to that. One of the questions was how many studded tires are in use? And so we did explore that question. We've heard an estimate of 12 to 20%, and it is hard to nail down. We actually went to Department of Revenue to get the FY16 revenue generated from the $5 fee. And by the way, Mr. Chairman, for committee members, this is a fee. It is not a tax. And in your packet is actually the statute that calls out the 2004 fee, studded tire fee. That is a distinction, Mr. Chairman. So I appreciate that DOT is going to do a little more research on that. I will offer some information, and that is that the Alaska State Troopers in the Fairbanks area use the new technology tires. That's another clarification point, Mr. Chairman. On page 9 of DOT's presentation, under tire technology, when I'm talking studless tires, there are two brand names, and I have not declared the brand names because I don't think a bill should call out a brand. But I'm not talking about winter tires that don't have studs in them. I'm talking about Blizzak or Isex. These are two brands of a softer rubber tire. So when you look in the research and you've got summaries, the Washington State summary, that's the research that was done on the new softer tires. In one of the testimonies, it talked about the intersections. Mr. Chairman, testing right now in Anchorage is of a high friction surface at intersections that is designed to actually grip tires and help folks stopping and also accelerating. It would be helpful if DOT could provide you with some of that information also in terms of just safety. One of the other things that the studies bring out is that studded tires affect driver behavior because of a sense of power from having studded tires. Sometimes drivers overdrive road conditions. So those are just a few things I wanted to call out, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Yeah, and what we'll do, just for the committee's reference, we'll have the bill sponsor work with DOT on putting together those responses for the committee. And when we have those responses, we'll take a look at that, take action. We were initially anticipating a 1 week from today meeting, next Thursday, with this bill. So if we have that package put together by the bill sponsor and DOT, we'll have the meeting and we'll take a look at it. And if not, I'll work with the bill sponsor for another appropriate day. We are adjourned.